Chapter 32, Ruth. It took Scott an hour to calm down. Ruth sat in the kitchen with him. He rocked back and forth on the kitchen floor, his arms wrapped round his frame. He had stopped crying now.
How could I have done this?
He said. This was the third or fourth time he'd said it, and this time Ruth had to answer.
You did the right thing, she said.
He looked at her, the skin beneath his eyes red and puffy from the tears. He wanted to believe Ruth. He needed to. She could feel his desperation to draw some meaning, some justification from this terrible thing. The cops couldn't do anything. They would have let him go. He would have been free to kill more women. He was hunting us, Scott. What else was there to do? This was survival. He nodded, sniffed, let out a low moan.
He tried to kill me. What you did was right. Never forget that.
She helped him up, and they held each other for a long time. Resting her chin on his shoulder, she was reminded of something long ago. Emotional touchstones in a life create powerful memories that can live large again with a smell, a word, or a feeling. Ruth's mother had got stomach cancer in Ruth's senior year of high school. There had been a lot going on in that year, and Ruth had missed most of it. Her parents had divorced years before, and her father had moved to Holland with his new wife. Ruth's mother, Beth, needed support, and so Ruth accompanied her to the clinic for chemotherapy for months. She sat up late, holding her mother's hair while she vomited into the toilet, wiped her mother's emaciated body with a cool cloth at night, made sure she got her meds, made light dinners, and sometimes even spoon-fed her mom ice cream when she couldn't hold down anything else. The morning of her senior prom, Ruth's mom tied a bright purple scarf round her head and drove them to the clinic. It was a big day for both of them. It had been a date marked in their calendar for a while, for two reasons. The prom, of course, and it happened to be the same day Beth's scan results were due. At the clinic, Ruth sat in a pine chair, covered in beige leather in an antiseptic hallway, swinging her legs and smiling at the nurses and patients who passed by. Her mom was in the consultation room, talking with the doctor. Ruth spent most of that half hour staring at the bell on the wall by the nurse's station. It was old. While everything in the hospital looked like new, this brass bell was covered in a dark layer of grime and dirt ingrained into the brass. Discolored and out of place in the white-walled, white-tile hallway. A small hammer hung on a piece of string from the bracket holding the bell. If her mom got bad news, Ruth had already decided that she couldn't leave her on her own that night. She would just miss the prom. Her mother was more important, and their time together now was precious. Beth emerged from her oncologist's office. Ruth couldn't see her face yet. Couldn't gauge what the results were like because she couldn't yet read her expression. And then Beth turned, a blank look on her face. Ruth's grip on the armrests tightened. Beth didn't look at her. She just walked calmly to the bell, took the hammer in her hand, and smacked the dirt clean off the brass. Rushing forward, Ruth took her mom in her arms, and they held one another while the bell pealed, and all the nurses, patients, and doctors applauded and whooped. Cancer patients rang the bell when they got the all clear. It was the best sound Ruth had ever heard in her life, and the feeling she had then was indescribable. It wasn't just relief, it was love growing stronger, a blessed release from sickness and impending death. They held each other and cried with something more than joy. As Ruth held Scott tightly in the kitchen of the little apartment in Hartford, she felt that extraordinary sense of elation and relief again. Only this time, it was more powerful. She thought if she shut her eyes tightly enough and listened, really listened, she might even hear a bell ringing softly in the distance. There would be no more long, dark days being haunted by a killer. Ruth was in remission. Cupping his face in her hands, she said,
I know it's hard. But he brought this on himself. It was either him or me. You did the right thing, so no more tears.
He nodded, cleared his throat. Ruth said,
Why don't you make yourself some coffee? I'll go to the store and get us breakfast. He looked at her, astonished, and then his brows furrowed into doubt.
Are you leaving me?
Don't be stupid. I'm going out on my own, like I used to do. There's no reason to be afraid anymore. You've given me my life back. I'm going to take it.